Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
High drive, center field, hit the wall, grand slam. This is magnificent.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, Chris, and Adam.
What in the world happened to Gleyber Torres? Who is the real Adalberto Mondesi? And is it time to buy Carlos Correa? Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on Tuesday, October 20th. Frank Stanfill joined by a man who has endured endless amounts of pain when it comes to Atlanta, Georgia sports. He is Scott White. Scott, I don't even know what to say, man. I am sorry. Between the Falcons, I wasn't here. I wasn't around for the Falcons. I don't know, you know, how you handle it. I assume it was quite bad because how else can you handle it? But now the Braves, the 3-1, how much can one man take, Scott?
Yeah, I think that 28-3, the infamous 28-3 comeback for the Patriots in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, I think that the podcast the next day from that is probably one for the archives, because I was, that was a depressed little monologue at the beginning of that one. And I mean, the good news is I know I can't really feel that level of pain again. I mean, that level of pain was so intense. I didn't know it at the time, but it has severely diminished my ability to enjoy football, because I can't react to anything that's happening in real time, because it just seems like it could disappear in an instant, you know, like it doesn't feel real until it's over. And if you're not enjoying it along the way, what's the point, you know? So, So this, what I try to remind myself with this instance, the Dodgers coming back to beat the Braves in 7 to go to the World Series against the Rays, what I try to remind myself is that if they hadn't gone up 3-1, you know, there would be nothing disappointing about this at all. The Braves weren't supposed to beat the Dodgers. The Dodgers, in my opinion, are the best team in baseball. And, I was encouraged that the Braves got as far as they did, frankly, because we've gotten so used for 20 years to first round playoff exits. So that's what I try to remind myself. If they had, I'll admit, when they went up 3-1, I assumed they were going to the World Series, and that was wrong of me. I shouldn't have assumed that. And just a good reminder, 3-1 leads have been blown before. Of course, the Cleveland Indians in the World Series to the Cubs a couple years ago. The Braves themselves in the 96 NLCS against the Cardinals came back from down 3-1, only to get their hearts broken in the World Series after going up 2-0 on the Yankees. But we don't have to get into that. That's probably second, by the way. And sports fan disappointments to the Falcons blown lead in the Super Bowl. But the Falcons blown lead in the Super Bowl to the Patriots, up 25 with roughly a quarter to play. Like that I got inoculated from pain. I'm not saying I can't feel it, but it's a milder version.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You know, like there's no recovering from that. So anything after that, I mean, look, if the Braves were up, I don't even want to say it, because I don't even want to like speak it into existence, but if the Braves were ever up 3-0 in the World Series and you know, something happens there, like, all right, that would be pretty bad too. But man, 28-3, like once you felt that, like, I don't think anything else compares. So I'm sorry, Scott. I was hoping to start this podcast with a big congratulations, but of course, the World Series is set and it is the Tampa Bay Rays going up against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Heck, on the other side, the Rays almost blew a 3-0 lead themselves. So going up against the Houston Astros in the ALCS. Real quick, Scott, before we get into our shortstop position preview, what are your thoughts on the World Series? Any picks here?
Well, I'm going to pick the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I think they're the best team in baseball. It's certainly possible the Rays could beat them. But yeah, I'm going to pick the Dodgers. I would be surprised if Randy Arozarena kept it up. I don't think he's nearly as good as he's shown. I haven't watched a lot of the Rays playoff run, to be honest, because I can only carve so much time out for watching baseball on a given day. And obviously my focus was on the Braves. So I'll be interested in seeing more of Arozarena for myself. But from what I know about him, that seems like something that can't come close to being sustained. I hadn't watched a lot of Corey Seager this year until this series against the Braves. And he, of course, had great numbers. He had even better StatCast numbers. Like, he underperformed his expected stats by a considerable margin, if you can believe it. I mean, his data looked like Mike Trout. And then so seeing him in that NLCS, where, of course, he hit 5 home runs, won MVP. I mean, every time he came up, it was like, oh, gosh, we're not going to be able to get this guy out. So it was it got me thinking about my shortstop rankings, to be honest, if I can if I can segue into that, because currently I have him.
Oh, you can't say, Scott. It's a surprise.
Is it?
Yeah, we're going to reveal it to everyone in just a little bit. But maybe that's why you have him so high, is because you finally got that up-close look at Corey Seager.
Well, I'm wondering if I should have him higher.
And that is something that we could talk about. But realistically, looking at your rankings, I think he's in a pretty good spot. I don't know that you can actually make the argument for him to be higher than where you have him. But we will talk about that. Today on the show, we are doing our early 2021 shortstop position preview, another position like third base that is just extremely deep. So we will get into that. I have a little bit of a game later on. Hopefully we can get to that as well. A little bit of guess who. New game here, Scott.
I play that a lot.
Yeah.
This is probably different. This is a little harder, different.
But that was the premise, right? When I was discussing this with other minds, we were talking about the board game guess who. Which is very fun.
Yeah, it's you want to try and think of different questions to ask in the board game, because you kind of exhaust your supply. Like, how many times can you ask, does your person have yellow hair? Like, you go through all the hair colors. And, you know, there's some that you're afraid to ask because it may not be PC. And then there's, you know, there's always the earrings question. Like, does your person have earrings? And then, you know, some people, it's hard to tell if it's part of their earrings or their earlobes, and you don't want to, like, throw your kid off and make it so he can't possibly win just because he didn't see the earrings. So those are my quibbles with the board game. But I look forward to playing your version.
Scott has clearly played, I'm not going to say more guess who than me, but definitely has played it more frequently, like more recently than I have, because I haven't played guess who in a long, long time. The last thing I'll mention, just for getting back to the World Series, by the time you're listening to this, you might know if... That's right. Top prospect Wander Franco is being called up for the Tampa Bay Rays. I don't know if it's going to happen, but we're recording this Monday night, and there is a picture that is circulating around the internet of Wander Franco with a World Series patch jersey uniform. So, man, that would make the World Series a little bit more interesting. Not that it's not interesting already, but, man, it would be fun to see that if it actually happens. All right, shortstop. Number one, Scott. No, not really any surprise here. Let's jump right in. Who do you have at the top?
Tatis. Fernando Tatis Jr. is number one. He is a top 5 player going into next year. Top 4 probably in 5x5 leagues. Probably not top 5 in a points league. I think, like Ronald Acuna, there's going to be a discrepancy between the two formats there. First round value in both, but... You know, maybe not among the super elite in points leagues, but obviously with the steals potential he shows, and as scarce as that category is, along with everything else, he gives you the big steals total. He gives you the big power. A lot of my concerns about him coming into the season, I had him among my bust candidates, as I'm sure many people remember. He eliminated a lot of those concerns. The strikeout rate in particular, the strikeout rate was really good from Tatis. It wasn't just okay. It was good. It was a big step in the right direction. His numbers in September actually weren't so hot. He had kind of a bumpy finish, but if you just look at the numbers on the whole, and particularly there with the improvement he made in the strikeout rate, him continuing to run at a good pace, which was something else I was concerned about. He's clearly number one. I think he's basically Ronald Acuna of the infield. I think that's how we should think of him now. Little less proven, I guess, but they're going to be battling it out at the top of the rankings for a long time, I think.
Again, that is Fernando Tatis at the top of Scott's shortstop rankings, number one. And I don't really think that you can make the argument for anyone else. Like, I've seen some people talk about maybe Trey Turner first overall. That just seems a little bit out there to me. I don't know that it makes a lot of sense to do that. But huge improvements for Tatis, specifically in the plate discipline, as you mentioned. But his first 143 career games, that's 2019 and 2020 combined, 301 batting average, 39 home runs, 111 runs scored, 98 RBI, 27 steals, and I have no issue, no concerns about the steals coming down, because Jace Tingler was one of the bench coaches for the Texas Rangers back in 2019. He was in charge of their base running, and they wound up leading all of baseball in steals in 2019. Comes over to the Padres in 2020, and obviously they're super aggressive on the base path. So I would expect that to keep up again in 2021. Scott, it sounds like you don't really have any issues with the September. The biggest thing for me is that month by month, his ground ball rate went up. It was 40%, 47%, and then 52%. So I don't really like to see that, but ultimately, like, his Statcast numbers were so good, I don't think that you can let the ground ball rate like affect how you view Fernando Tatis.
Yeah, I don't think so either, especially since the power has been there in spite of it 2 years in a row now. I mean, at what point are you just going to say, okay, it's not really a big deal? It's not as bad of a ground ball rate as we've seen from Vladimir Guerrero or as we've seen from Juan Soto, frankly, at times. I think Fernando Tatis falls into the category where he can get by with a high-ish ground ball rate.
And the early ADP, I've referenced these early mock drafts that we have going on in the industry. His early ADP is 3.2, just behind Mookie Betts and Ronald Acuna, just ahead of Mike Trout and Juan Soto. So after Fernando Tatis, Scott, who do you have second at shortstop?
I think there's room for debate here, but I have Trevor Story, just because that feels like the foolproof pick. 3 years in a row now, he's basically proven how good of a hitter he can be playing with the benefit of playing home games at Coors Field. His strikeout rate improved actually a little more this past year. I'm not sure over a 2 month sample, I really read much into that. What was more interesting is how his steals pace improved. He had 15 through a little more than a third of a season, right?
Yeah. Just 59 career, games. Yep.
Yeah. His career high was 24. I want to say. So he was on pace for a career high pretty easily. Obviously that pace could have slowed. Steals generally don't keep a steady pace over the full season, so maybe he would have become less aggressive over time. But if there's a chance he's a 30 steal guy, he's 27 was the previous high. Did you say that? If there's a chance he's a 30 plus steals guy in addition to everything else he does with the bat, I mean, obviously that, he's probably an easy first rounder in 5x5 anyway. I think the only dispute is whether you want him or Trey Turner ahead, and whether or not Trevor Story still deserves to be a first round pick in a points league where the steals help, but they're obviously not critical.
Yeah, I think Trevor Story is probably not a first round pick for me in points leagues. And I've talked about this before, but with Rockies players, you do want a little bit more consistency in a head-to-head points league, because obviously you have a weekly matchup every single week. You're going up against somebody else, and you know, you can't really afford to just, all right, I'm going to take these down weeks from Trevor Story and any other Rockies players while they're playing on the road. And of course, Story, like all the other Rockies players, has had drastic home road splits in his career. So I don't think he's a first round pick in a head-to-head points league. I do think that he is a bona fide first round pick in a 5x5 roto league, but I actually do prefer Trey Turner over Trevor Story slightly. And it's because of the improvements in the power output that we saw from Trey Turner this year. And I do still look at him as a safer source of stolen bases and just a higher upside in that category. If you compare their last 162 games each, Trevor Story, 297, 37 home runs, 116 runs scored, 85 RBI over last 162. That is very surprisingly low for Trevor Story. And then the 30 steals. Trey Turner, last 162, 314 batting average, so higher there. 29 home runs, 8 less, 132 runs scored, so that is 16 more, 91 RBI. So actually more RBI from Trey Turner over the last 162 and 39 stolen bases. So I think it's really close, Scott, but I do prefer Trey Turner, who you have third just behind Trevor Story.
I do, and a notable stat, you know, we're talking more about 5x5 leagues with these rankings, but for points leagues, Trey Turner actually had more head-to-head points per game than not just Story, but also Fernando Tatis this past year, which shows you how productive he was.
And Turner finished higher in Roto than Tatis too, because of that late season slide from Tatis. Turner finished as the number one shortstop and the second overall player in Roto leagues behind only Shane Bieber.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know Story had the most steals of the three, and I don't, you know, I still think of Trey Turner as the most trustworthy steal source of them. Okay, so Trey Turner was second with 12, and then Fernando Tatis had 11. Because remember, Turner, it took him a long time to get his first one.
Oh, yeah.
People were like, what is going on?
People were freaking out.
Yeah. But he eventually finished with 12, and I'm sure he would have had his usual 35 to 40 if the season had played out, and if he had stayed healthy, which factors into the equation here. He's had four seasons where he began with the big league club, and only two of them he played did he not miss a significant amount of time. And one of them was obviously this 60 game season, which, you know, I'm not even sure that counts because there wasn't a lot of time to get hurt. So he definitely has an injury history there. But the bigger issue for Trey Turner and why I ultimately rank Trevor Story ahead, at least in 5x5 play, where I think the output is a little closer, is because the big spike in power for Trey Turner, I'm just not sure a 2-month sample of that is something I could weigh heavily at all. Mm-hmm. Like, he had 2 months where he hit for more power than ever before, but it goes back to, it was just 2 months. And certainly a player can have a 2-month stretch like that and then regress back to his normal power output. So it's certainly possible he found a new gear as a hitter, and he's going to be somebody who threatens to hit 30 plus homers. How many did he finish with? He finished with
12.
So that would have put him on pace for over 30. And his previous high was 19.
Yeah.
He did it 19 in 122 games last year, so that would have translated to like 24, 25.
Yeah.
But still, that's still a big jump. So what would it have been exactly? A 34 homer pace?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that from Turner, but
yeah,
25, I think Turner can get there. I think Turner can get to 25 home runs.
Well, if he stays healthy, I would agree. He can, because he was on that kind of pace in 2019 too. I think 25 is within the realm of possibility, and maybe he's a 25, 35 guy with... the other thing is he hit 335. I mean, that's obviously the highest he had hit, apart from a crazy rookie season. The highest he had hit was 298, so... I don't expect him to be a batting title contender, but he'll have a solid batting average, and I think is certainly a first rounder. And I think in points leagues, I might flip him, to be honest.
I think that makes sense too. You mentioned the next gear that Trey Turner got to in this shortened season. That's, you know, This is one of those, Trey Turner is really one where I would have liked to see it play out. Like, would he have kept this, all these improvements up that he made? Because he lowered his strikeout rate. In 2019, it was right around 20%. In 2020, it was a career best 13.9. So that's a pretty big drop in strikeout rate. He was making a lot of contact this year. And I looked into his distribution, his spray chart, and he went this Tim Anderson route where he started going to all fields. So it seems like he just became a more complete hitter overall, which lends itself to the batting average being higher than ever before. Probably not 330, but can we see Turner hit 300, 310, 315? I think so. I think that's within the realm of possibility for Trey Turner. So it's extremely close. We're splitting hairs here, but I would prefer Trey Turner over Trevor Story. Scott prefers Trevor Story, of course. Scott, so after those three, who do you have number four, Scott?
Number four, I have Francisco Lindor, who did not have a very good season.
No, he did not.
But he didn't do anything that different.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything that different. If you look at his expected stats across the board, virtually identical to 2019. 276 versus 278 next BA, 467 versus 441 and next slug. 336 versus 333 in ex-WOBA. Hard hit rate, almost identical. K rate, almost identical. Average exit velocity, down like 1 mile per hour. Not like a drastic change there. He was Francisco Lindor. And I'm not going to say he didn't underachieve at all, because he did. But I think it's magnified by the fact it was a 60-game season where you had somebody like Trey Turner doing things he'd never sustained before. And just you had those outlier performances that obviously wouldn't have sustained over a full 162-game season. And so when Lindor kind of does his normal thing, but on the lower end of it, it looks a lot worse than it would have looked when everybody else's numbers had a chance to normalize. I mean, I do think Lindor's themselves probably would have normalized up some, but I think it was just as much an issue of other players' numbers needing to normalize down to get him where he deserved to be in the rankings.
I think that makes a lot of sense, too. In 2020, he had 258, 8 home runs, 30 runs scored, 27 RBI, 6 steals, and played all 60 games outside of 2019, where he started the year on the IL because of a calf issue that he suffered in spring training. The guy has been an Ironman. Like, he usually plays most, if not all, the games year in and year out. So again, this is Francisco Lindor. I couldn't really find anything like that was wrong with him. The only thing maybe is his BABIP was 280. He's a career 298 BABIP guy, and he did have a career best 25.6% line drive rate. So based on him hitting more line drives than ever, you would imagine the BABIP should have at least been in his career mark, maybe even better than that. So I think that's probably why we see the batting average a little bit lower than expected. His early ADP, 17.2, just behind Freddie Freeman, Cody Bellinger, and Christian Yelich. Just behind him, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. Does this range make sense to you, Scott, for Lindor?
Yes, that sounds like exactly where I'd slot him.
Mm-hmm.
I think I agree with, I don't think there's a player on either end of Lindor there that I would disagree with. So it sounds like there's some consensus there.
Yeah, and one of the big questions in the offseason will be, is he playing for Cleveland next season? Because they seem to trade players away before they have to, you know, pony up this big money or extensions, and Francisco Lindor is entering a contract year. So it's going to be interesting to see, does he get traded? Does he start next season in Cleveland? And then he's traded midseason if they're not competing. So all those things are in question when it comes to Francisco Lindor. But you know what? It might not hurt if he actually changes scenery, because his RBI output, yes, he's been leading off, but Cleveland's lineup outside of him and Jose Ramirez has not been very good. So change of scenery might actually help someone like Francisco Lindor. And speaking of helping yourself, you should help yourself by checking out our new sponsor, and that is Express Clothing. We mentioned them last week. Very excited to have Express here as a sponsor on Fantasy Baseball Today. True story. Like, my friends and I, we would actually text each other routinely about Express deals when they were going on. Like, they have these crazy flash sales. Their clothes are awesome. And I've mentioned the V-necks that you've seen me wearing before here on the podcast, you're watching on our YouTube channel. They're all Express, and they're all super comfortable. The deal that we are offering you today is $25 off your next $50 purchase from Express. All you have to do is text the word baseball to 397-737. Again, text baseball to 397-737. This is the new Express, all about comfort, fit, and their different versatile styles that they offer. Speaking of those different styles that they offer, I just hit up their website and I'm looking at their comfort zone, which features a bunch of items for the fall. I've actually been meaning to upgrade my fall wardrobe, but you could do so as well at Express. I'm looking at these Henley shirts that they have, $22. Denim button down, which is just $30. If you're into hoodies, sweaters, they have all different types of assortments of fall clothing and different styles there. I actually own a cardigan from Express myself that is super comfortable and stylish and very warm as well. So again, whatever you need. V-necks, you need a suit, you need a blazer, you need some fall clothing, Express has you covered. Remember that $25 is the deal that we're offering. $25 off your next $50 purchase at Express by texting baseball to 397-737. I've already done it myself. They text you back with a link with a discount. It's super easy. Text baseball to 397-737. All right, Scott. After Francisco Lindor, who do you have next at number five?
Well, here's where Corey Seager comes in.
Yeah.
And here's where I wonder, particularly after the season Lindor just had, is it worth dropping him behind Seager? Considering nobody else is doing it, that probably answers it right there. But, I mean, I kind of got into Corey Seager's season already. His StatCast measurements were just off the charts.
Insane.
Yeah. Top 5% in basically every batted ball metric. His expected stats had him hitting like 330 and slugging like 630, right? Like, which maybe if you combine his playoff stats with his regular season stats, that's about where he's at. I don't know. I mean, he looks like somebody who deserves to go in the first round. It's just, you know, that was after a season where he very much underwhelmed. And then you're talking about a 2-month sample where who knows how those numbers might have normalized. So I think caution is warranted, but I'm optimistic about him personally. And as many shares as I had in Corey Seager this past year, I hope to have just as many next year.
Yeah, and if you are worried about health when it comes to someone like Trey Turner, I think it has to at least creep into your mind when it comes to Corey Seager. He's dealt with so many different things and he's had different kinds of surgeries as well. He will be 27 years old at the start of the in April 2021, so he will turn 27 early on in the season, but he's right in that prime age. And just what he's done in the postseason, what he's done all season, you mentioned a 307 batting average and a 585 slug. And his expected numbers were even better than those. So
650 slug is what it, 653 is what it, the expected slug,
yeah, 653
was.
X slug and 330 XBA, which is just bonkers for Seager. And we said before the season, like, his best case scenario, if he stays healthy, is being Freddie Freeman from the shortstop position. And that's kind of what he was.
Yeah. He hadn't shown Freddie Freeman's power ceiling. It was more like the line drive rate that I was looking at there. But now he has. I mean, now 60 game season, only 2 months. So, you know, that obviously, you can't just assume it would have played out that way over a full 6 months. But certainly seems more plausible to call him that now than it did before.
And last year we were getting Corey Seager in the middle rounds, like rounds 10 through 12, and his early ADP is 44.1, so does climb up quite a bit, looking at a fourth round pick for Corey Seager as of now, but that is still 13 picks behind Xander Bogaerts, a name you haven't heard yet.
No.
22. Seriously, 22 picks behind Bo Bichette. People are excited about Bo Bichette. So Seager looking like an early value based on Scott's rankings here. We haven't heard either of those names yet. And when we get to number six right now, Scott, we still will not get to either of those names.
No, we're going Tim Anderson. Curious to see where he ends up in your magical little ADP there, which was how many drafts are being considered for that?
These are 9 drafts that are going on. They're 15 team roto drafts and being done with a bunch of different people from the industry who play in high stakes leagues as well. So it's a combination of people who seemingly know what they're doing, but
yeah,
a lot of people are obviously paying attention to football at this time of year. So things can fall through the cracks, obviously. Yeah,
there was a case to be made, at least in a 5x5 context, because you lower him some in a points league. He doesn't walk much at all, Tim Anderson. But certainly in a 5x5 context, there was a case to be made just looking at his 2019 numbers that he deserved to be an early rounder. He won a batting title, 335, 18 homers, 17 steals, and that was in only 123 games. So you could certainly see him going like 25 homers, 20 steals with that high batting average. But that's, you know, you had to assume those 2019 stats were entirely on the up and up. And now we can, I think, as he followed it up, hit 322, actually had a higher OPS in 2020 than in 2019. Still doesn't walk at all, but the improvements he's made as a hitter, I think we can say are legit now. He doesn't hit the ball in the air very much. And though he's fast, he doesn't run very much. He had 5 steals and 7 attempts in his 49 games. So, I mean, obviously that's a useful steals total, a useful steals pace. But we've only once ever seen him steal 20 bases in a season. So it's, I think he's a guy who people always presume he's going to steal more bases than he actually does. And I think there are, might be a presumption he's going to hit more home runs than he actually will. But I think 2020 is on the table with a great batting average. And in a 5x5 league, as hard as it is to fill batting average and stolen bases later in the draft, he deserves to go pretty early.
And early is where he is going thus far. The ADP at 48.7, so a fourth, fifth round pick in that range and going just behind Corey Seager. I wanted to bring this up to you, Scott, and you let me know what you think. Last 162 games played for Francisco Lindor, 270 batting average, 30 home runs, 105 runs, 78 RBI, 22 steals. Last 162 for Tim Anderson, 322, 26 home runs, 118 runs, 71 RBI, and 17 steals. So 50 more points of batting average, 4 less home runs, 13 more runs scored, 7 less RBI, and 5 less steals. So not really dissimilar. And yeah, Tim Anderson's probably going to go like 3 or 4 rounds later than for Francisco Lindor. So that's just an early kind of, you know, people like to do these comps like, oh, I could get this guy this many rounds later. That's one that stood out to me early on was Lindor versus Tim Anderson.
Yeah, I would say that during those 162 games, we've probably seen Tim Anderson perform at his best, and Francisco Lindor, at least for the portion of that was included this season, it was probably at his worst. So that's something to keep in mind, that Lindor at least was even with Anderson for that stretch. I mean, nobody's taking Anderson over Lindor, so I think
no.
And it kind of goes without saying, but worth pointing out.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. I still think Lindor is far away safer than someone like Tim Anderson, but just thought that was interesting. I want to remind everyone that the UEFA Champions League is back with every match streaming on CBS All Access. Messi, Neymar, Lewandowski, icons of today, but the next generation is not far behind. Match day 1 of the group stage is here this week, and you don't want to miss any of the drama from the world's most prestigious tournament combined with the world-class coverage of CBS Sports. Go to cbs.com/UCL to start your free trial today. The UEFA Champions League, there's nothing like it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we still have to talk about some very polarizing names, and Adalberto Mondesi Bo Bichette coming up, Gleyber Torres, and more. We'll do that here, Fantasy Baseball Today.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. Homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we'd go in-depth with player analysis on fantasy baseball today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Number 7 on your early shortstop rankings, Scott, is...
it's Adalberto Mondesi, but...
damn.
Strictly a 5x5 play here. There might not be a single player whose draft position will be more different in between 5x5 and points leagues. So I have him, what, 7th here in this format? I'd have Mondesi 13th in a points league. So big drop for him there. And obviously it's the steals, right? He had 50% more steals than anyone else this past year. And I think it was only 4 guys who had even half as many steals as Mondesi did. So he could literally carry you in that category. And obviously has a track record of running a ton. So that you can count on from him. And given where we are with stolen bases, that alone makes him plenty valuable in this format. So as a hitter, who is he? I don't think we really know. The profile is horrendous. The plate discipline, awful. Doesn't hit the fly balls or the line drives. You'd want a lot of ground balls. Not really anything you want to see from him as a hitter. And yet he had this monster September at the plate. And certainly we've seen stretches from him that have been about that good in the past. I know entering last year, I was very excited about him. And maybe he got off to a terrible start because he was coming off shoulder surgery, you know, and then maybe September was closer to his true form. I find that hard to believe given how bad the data is, but I think you at least have to be open to the possibility Mondesi is going to be adequate with the bat. And if he's adequate with the bat, he's probably going to return like second round value. Mm-hmm. So I can't, in this format with steals being as important as they are, I really can't justify ranking him lower.
Yeah, and the early ADP is pick 35, so that'll put him right not in a dissimilar spot than where he was going heading into the 2019 season. Late third, early fourth round pick. He's sandwiched right between Luis Robert and DJ LeMahieu right now. So very different players in that range. Some very risky and obviously a very safe one in DJ LeMahieu, at least we presume.
And that means he's going ahead of Seager and Anderson, who I rank ahead of him, right?
Yes, he is. And again, these mock drafts that we're doing are for Roto. And you mentioned how he can single-handedly win you the stolen base category. His last 162 games, 67 stolen bases for Adalberto Mondesi. And the next closest is Jonathan Villar with 56 during the span. Since the start of the 2019 season,
in 53 more games. VR played 53 more games and had 11 less steals. Like, that is legitimately how fast and how impactful Adalberto Mondesi can be in that category. Is he a good header? I don't know, and I don't know that anybody actually knows the answers to that, but I tend to lean towards, I think he got off to the slow start because he was coming off shoulder surgery. So take that for what it's worth, but I think that he will actually be worthy of this ADP, assuming that he doesn't even need to stay healthy for the whole season. If he plays 130, 140 games and gives you 50 steals and double-digit home runs, he pays off. He pays off his value. So a name to pay attention to undoubtedly in the offseason. But Scott, after Adalberto Mondesi at number 8, you have...
This is where Xander Bogaerts comes in. And of the ADPs you mentioned so far, that's... His has been the most surprising to me. He's going ahead of Seager, right? Also,
he's going right around 30, just around. So Ozzie Albies and Anthony Rendon.
Well, I mean, just compared to so that would make him the fourth shortstop going off, the fifth shortstop going off the board.
Yes.
Here's why I think that's the case. He stole 8 bases this year. He stole 4 bases last year in 155 games. So what are we doing there? I think we are projecting a little too much over what was kind of a fluke steals output. And I think he had a year recently, like 2017 or something like that, where he had a ton of stolen bases early and then finished with if it was 2017, it was 15 that he finished with. That is his career high to this point. So he's never been a big base stealer. And obviously, eight in 56 games, that comes out to a good pace. But I mean, the guy's been around a long time. He's 28 years old now. Like, I don't see him becoming this 30 steals guy all of a sudden. What are we doing?
No, it's not. There's no chance. Well, I don't want to say there's no chance and then it happens, but there's a very minimal chance that Xander Bogaerts becomes a 30 steal
or even 25.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think realistically, you can project 10 to 12. All right, so after Bogaerts, who do you have number 9, Scott?
Number 9, that's where I come in with Bo Bichette, who in terms of fantasy points per game at the position was behind only Turner, Tatis, Seager, and Story. Bichette had the fifth most. So I guess there's a justification for him to go as high as he's going. But if you break down the season, basically he was a monster for a very short stretch of a few weeks. There were a few weeks where he was just awesome, and then he went on the IL with a sprained knee, came back and was completely ineffective, struggled to make contact, struggled to elevate the ball. His final numbers ended up being... I mean, they still ended up being pretty good, obviously, for him to have that many points per game, but hit 301 with an 840 OPS, 5 home runs and 4 steals. And pretty good. 29 games is what we're talking about here. Is 29 games enough to change your opinion on a player, especially since the results were mixed? I mean, I don't know for sure that he came back too early from the knee injury, and that's why he was struggling down the stretch. You could make that argument, but it could just be that he was due from some regression anyway. Like 29 games of uneven production, 29 games anyway, isn't going to be isn't enough to move my opinion on a player that much. And so I'm kind of reverting to my priors here on Bo Bichette and just kind of dismissing 2020 as need more information.
Yeah, so this one is really tough, and I think that there is a world of upside with Bo Bichette, so I understand why people are excited about him, and I want to be excited about him, but with an early ADP of 22.7,
insane.
You are drafting a guy in the second or third round that has 75 career games under his belt, but you know what you know what kind of vibes I'm getting here, Scott? What was the same thing that we were saying last offseason for a guy that, you know, had right around 75, 80 career games and was being drafted in the second round? Fernando Tatis.
It was Tatis, yeah.
So I don't know that he has the same upside, but like,
no.
Given the pedigree, I'm not going to rule it out. You know, I'm not going to rule out Bo Bichette becoming a top 5 player for fantasy in 2021. I don't think that it's impossible. I Really like what I've seen thus far. 75 career games, .307 batting average, 16 home runs, 8 steals. StatCast really liked him this year. .291 XBA, .523 xSlug. His xSlug was actually higher than his actual slugging percentage.
But StatCast didn't really like him last year.
That is correct. A 26% line drive rate in 2020. That's above league average. He hits to all fields. In an up-and-coming lineup, I understand why people like Bichette, but that is just a really, really big price tag. And I wish it was just a little bit lower, but if it stays there, it's going to be hard for me to buy in.
Yeah, it's unnecessary aggression. Because, I mean, even if you just... So he's played 74 games, you said? 75 games? So even if you double that, 150 games, 32 home runs, 16 steals, a .307 batting average. Obviously, really good numbers, but... Mm-hmm. Do you feel safer about Bichette giving you close to that, or Bogarts, or Seager? I obviously feel better about those other two.
Scott, at 10, 11, and 12, these are all very polarizing players, and we'll have more time to talk about these guys in the offseason, but you have Gleyber Torres, Javier Baez, Carlos Correa. Choose one of these guys that you see yourself gravitating towards potentially having a bounce back season in 2021.
Well, all of them I do.
Yeah. Because they're all bad.
I expect to enjoy the discount on all of them. The one that I felt like you could maybe see coming, although I never predicted this bad, was Javier Baez.
Yeah.
Who had built his production on an outlier BABIP and home run to fly ball rate. And while he had shown the ability to repeat that year after year, there was going to come a year where he just wasn't as much of an outlier, and what would his numbers look like? He's 27, so I don't think he's just lost his ability to play baseball. But hopefully he comes at the kind of discount that'll make him easy for me to buy next year. The one I'm having a hard time with exactly where to rank him is Carlos Correa, who we've had this conversation before, where given how short the season was relative to the postseason, should we just fold postseason stats in with regular season stats in when evaluating players? Obviously, the competition level is much higher, so you'd think it wouldn't be totally fair. But when the hitter, like Carlos Correa, hit 5 home runs during the regular season and then hit 6 in the postseason. So, like, his numbers look way different if you're factoring in the postseason. The postseason actually happened against tougher competition. So, like, I almost just want to move him to the top of this group now. I have him 12th right now. I almost want to move him up to 10th just because of that. Mm-hmm. I think part of what holds me back is the injury history, which is extensive. And, like, even worse than Trey Turner's. He's been around, his rookie year was 2016. He played 153 games that year. In 4 years since then, Correa has played no more than 110 games in a season. Like I know he had missed some time to injuries, but I was shocked it was that he'd missed that much time. Like not even one season where he played more than 2/3 of the season, roughly. So I feel like that's reason enough to downgrade him. Whether when push comes to shove, I'll actually take him 12th versus 10th. I mean, I guess we'll see. But I expect to enjoy the discount for all three of these players, Gleyber Torres, Javier Baez, and Carlos Correa.
And for Carlos Correa specifically, I had him as a bust coming into the season. I was worried about the injuries. He actually managed to stay healthy. He just wasn't good. The last four seasons, OPS for Carlos Correa, starting back in 2017, .941, .728, .926, .709. So he's kind of all over the place, but I'm calling my shot right now. I really like what I saw in the postseason against stiff competition. He's entering a contract year at 26 years old when 2021 starts. His early ADP is outside the top 120. He has an early ADP of 121.9. So
now, did they get to that point in the draft before the Astros had gotten very deep in the playoffs? Because these are slow moving drafts.
Yeah. Well, these started maybe a week or two ago. So I think people might have seen some of what the Astros were doing at the time, but that is a fair point. I think even if he climbed up to 100, I'm calling the shot now, Carlos Correa in 2021 will be this past year's Corey Seager. I'm calling that shot right now, and it's we'll see what happens in the offseason, of course. But I think that he'll be very motivated. We saw some of that in the postseason. And, of course, playing for his next contract at a pretty young age, too, of 26 years old. I'm going to be pretty excited about Correa. We didn't get to Gleyber Torres. I promise you we will talk about him at some point in the offseason because he is super interesting as well and trying to figure out what exactly went wrong with him. But I do want to play this little quick game. And, you know, now that you bring up the actual rules of Guess Who, Scott, the fact that I'm calling it Guess Who, it really does not have any of the same rules of Guess Who.
I'm basically
going to give you three different clues. Between each clue, you can make a guess as to who this player is. It is a shortstop eligible player, and someone that I thought was pretty interesting based on these numbers. So are you ready, Scott?
I'm ready.
All right. This person's 842 OPS was seventh highest among qualified shortstops.
I mean, I think I know who this is.
You could already see the clues.
By process of elimination.
All right. Posted a career-high 45% hard hit rate and a career-high 11.5% barrel rate. Those are according to Baseball Savant and StatCast, of course. And the early ADP is outside of the top 200. So, Scott, you're saying you think you know who this is based on these numbers.
No. This guy wouldn't be outside the top 200.
All right. So, what are you thinking here, Scott? I'll give you three guesses. Guess who?
It's got to be a little further down. 842 OPS. And you said these were career high barrel and hard hit rates.
Posted career high 45% hard hit rate. Career high 11.5% barrel rate.
All right, I'm gonna go with DD Gregorius. Okay.
I still have this.
And an 842 OPS.
Yeah, like this player was very good, and seems like an early value if the ADP stays in this range.
And it's a shortstop.
I will say shortstop eligible player. I looked it up earlier. They played 21, had 21 appearances at shortstop.
Ooh, that's a nice hint. Okay. So this isn't a guess, but I thought originally you were going with Dansby Swanson, who's 13th on my list, but he's going way earlier.
I love Dansby Swanson too, by the way.
He's not going outside the top 200.
He is not, but I could pull up his early ADP to see where he is going.
Is this one of those stupid batting average guys?
Dansby Swanson, 106. 106.3. He actually has an earlier ADP than Correa at this point.
Yeah,
kind of makes sense.
You want me to guess?
All right, Scott. Last guess.
Wait, I only made one guess.
Well, you kind of said Dansby Swanson, too.
No, I just wanted to talk about Dansby Swanson. okay, I'm going to say... I should be able to use that clue better. 21 games at shortstop. I'm going to say, yeah. I don't know. Willy Adames. I know that's not right.
And three. Guess number three.
That third guess? Okay.
I'll give you a third guess. Feeling generous. I've got to be generous after. Come on, man. Feel bad. The Braves.
I don't know. It's not like Jose Iglesias, is it? Like, that's what I'm worried about. You doing this, Frank?
No, it's not Jose Iglesias. Who's going to get excited about Jose Iglesias?
Well, like, Jose Iglesias and Miguel Rojas both had more than 3 fantasy points per game, which was, you know, high, like, about what DD Gregorius was. And obviously, like, it was just all batting average and... they're super low on my rankings. Anyway, go ahead.
Now you've got me second-guessing myself, so I want to make sure that this player actually did have 21 games at shortstop. No, it was 20 games at shortstop in 2020. 20 games at shortstop, 25 games in the outfield, 13 games at second base. This player is...
David Fletcher?
Chris Taylor.
Oh, okay.
Chris Taylor, who I think we spoke about late in the season, really had that... late season surge. But if he has an everyday role heading into 2021, cheap exposure to a really good Los Angeles Dodgers lineup, some pretty good numbers here in 2020. So a name that I'll be paying attention to. First edition of Guess Who? Scott. And it was Chris Taylor. All right, that's it for our shortstop preview. We will have the outfield preview coming up on the first part of a very early outfield preview, which will probably get to like 12 or 15 players if we're lucky. I hope. For Scott White, I am Frank Stample. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today on our YouTube channel. We'll be back again on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com.